Our Heavenly Father, the strength of Israel, the strength of Wisdom Assembly, we honor you, we exalt you. Jesus, our friend, our Savior, we thank you. Holy Spirit, our Comforter, we welcome you. We ask that you come and take absolute control and everything we are about to do today, or everything we have done, even up until this moment, that at the end of it all, you will take the glory. You all will take the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be seated in God's house. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for all, everyone who is in service today, the workers, the minister, every member. God bless you all. And for everyone who's on Facebook watching or will be watching, we welcome you. PC right now is away on a spiritual assignment. He actually had to go and attend the birthday celebration of our father in the Lord in New Jersey, Pastor Mattel Oko. I am sure a lot of us have met him one time or at one point or the other. He's celebrating life. And so as part of his spiritual assignment, PC is a way to celebrate with him and his family. And we pray that the Lord will give their family many costs for celebrations in the name of Jesus. And for everyone who's celebrating with them, even here in Wisdom Assembly, celebrations will not cease in our homes and our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I know he's not here. I still always will honor my husband. I thank the Lord for him. I will always thank the Lord for him. Amen. Now, I want to simply title today's message as Breaking My Alabaster Jar. Breaking My Alabaster Jar. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to take the message today, but I only ask that everyone be in readiness to receive directly from the throne. Now, before I talk, say what the main Bible text for today, I just want to give a little background about this particular Bible character the Lord has prepared for us today. This story is found in the first four. The Gospels are actually the first four books of the New Testament. This story is found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 13. It's found in Mark 14, 3 to 9. It is found in Luke 7, 36 to 50. And it is also found in John 12, verse 1 to 8. The main text for today is going to be the John 12, verses 1 to 8. But before we read God's word, there's a need for me to put a precept down by the grace of God. Now, the reason why I gave us all of these Bible verses for reference is very, very important. In study and preparation by the grace of God for this message, I realized that this woman's story is what we will call a giant picture that is divided into many jigsaw pieces. The reason is very simple. Everyone, every human that the Lord used to pen the four Gospels put her story in a way that is uniquely based off their own personal character. I'm not even going to go into all of that, but I just want you to know that. Because when we look at the book of Matthew 26 from verse 6 to 13, the way it tells the story is not totally different from, but there are certain missing pieces. Than the way Mark 14, 3 to 9 tells it, than the way Luke 7, 36 to 50 tells it, and then also the way John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8 tells it. The reason I'm taking the reading from the book of John is because for me, I felt that John, the book of John gives some, it lends some answers to the, what I will call the missing pieces. So let's quickly start by reading the book of John. John 12 verses 1 to 8. I'm reading, I believe, the NKJV version. Yes, NKJV version. The Bible says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who will betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. Hallelujah. Father, please breathe upon your word in Jesus' name. Like I was saying, when we look at the other versions of this story, there are certain common, what I call common factors. One of them is the fact that Jesus was in Bethany. All four Gospels attest to the fact that at this particular point in time, Jesus was actually in Bethany. But what John didn't really tell us was whose house it was. But when we look at the other Gospels, it tells us that Jesus was invited to a banquet in the house of a Simon. This Simon was a leper and also a Pharisee. That's one. Now, number two, we know that in Bethany lived Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, who Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, Jewish custom at the time had a way of segregating the gender. So one would, at least from my study of all the from all the four Gospels, it tells me that there was a gathering of mostly, if not only, men. Now, because it was a Pharisee who invited Jesus, obviously there will have been other Pharisees in the midst. And also, Jesus was there along with his 12 disciples. Apart from Jesus and the Pharisees, there were also people like Lazarus. So I'm almost going to infer that there was a gathering of what I will call the higher ups at the time. And we know that this was a time when Jesus was also a very prominent and important personality. Now, what is so unique, and what is it about this story that I want us to learn, as the Holy Spirit has imputed in my heart? I want to tell you that every word that the Lord gives me breaks me, but this particular word had a way of breaking me even more than I thought I could be broken, and I'll explain why. Now, this was a woman. Like I said, her story from all the four Gospels is like a giant picture with different, you know, pieces that need to be put together for you to have like a complete picture of this woman's background. In the book of Luke, chapter 7, when we start reading about her, it tells us that she was a woman of the street. What does that mean in layman's term? She must have been somebody who really lived in the red light district. So by her background, she did not even have any business in that banquet. She was not invited. She was not invited into that banquet, but she chose, but she went beyond that inhibition. And because when I was studying, I had so many questions. One of my questions was to the Holy Spirit was, why did she choose that time to break protocol? And was it okay for her to have broken that protocol to go and meet Jesus at the time? And then when I looked and studied further, before we even talk about our act, I want to take us to something that she did prior. Can we open the book, the Bible, to the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 9? Mark 16 verse 9. It is very important. We are going to come back to Mark 16 verse 9, but I want you to look at something. That now when he rose early on the first day of the week, this was after Jesus had been crucified, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Now let's go back to our major text in the book of John. This Mary, who also was known as a woman of the street, she was possessed by seven demons. Jesus cast out seven demons. We're not talking about one. We're not talking about two. We're talking about a legion of demons that was cast out of one person. This woman, up until the time Jesus had she had an encounter with Jesus, was living under serious bondage. Now, I want to also make a note that this man, this Pharisee, Simon, who was a leper, whether you believe it or not, Jesus had healed him of leprosy. Otherwise, when we look at the Jewish culture, going back to the book of the Old Testament readings, you would know that the person who was leprous was not allowed to go into the midst of people, not talk of throwing a banquet. This man, I believe that he was trying to honor Jesus because he was a Pharisee. I call them Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He threw a banquet in the honor of Jesus. But let's not forget that the motive behind the banquet, for me, the heart was wrong. The mix was wrong. And we'll see why very soon. Now, he threw a banquet, maybe as a thank you, because the Lord had cured him or healed him of the leprosy, such that he can come back at least and be able to host, you know, a banquet with Jesus as a guest of honor. But when we look, I want us to please, I apologize, we're going to be doing a lot of Bible hopping, but all of this story will come make sense by the grace of God. Can we go to the book of Luke chapter 7? I want to go to let's just read Luke's version of this story. I want to read Luke's version of this story. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because I don't want to do a Bible, too many Bible hops. So from verse 36, is that 36? Yes, 36. The Bible says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. This is Simon. And we went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Mary at this point was known by everyone. She already had been tagged a sinner. Imagine. She had a reputation at that point. Let's continue reading. when she knew she was not invited, she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with hair on her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he was a prophet. He did not realize that he was a prophet at the time that you were healed. At this point, now because you have grasped your holier than thou, a far to see, you have in your mind, you are beginning to like, how can this man be a prophet? Let's continue reading. This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins which are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What an astounding woman. This woman had a faith that was inborn in her. I want to believe that after the Lord had cast out the seven demons, she did not leave his presence. She somehow attached herself and became a disciple, but not the one that was called. She had engrafted herself and made herself a disciple of Jesus, listening to his teachings, learning from him, watching all he has been performing. And yet that on its own had brought birth faith in her to the point where she realized that this was no ordinary man. There have been many, many versions of the alabaster box. Some say that it was her tool of trade. I'm not going to argue whether or not it's her tool of trade. But let me explain that what she gave, what she brought to the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was a very costly offering. And I'm not here to say that it's the price of the offering that God had that attention. Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this woman looks beyond the price of what she was bringing before the King of Kings. After all, people like Judas, let's talk about Judas for a second. Apparently, Judas must have been this particular Simon's son. So the apple did not fall very far from the tree. He was part of the 12 that Jesus sent out in twos that performed miracles. Let's not forget the fact that Jesus gave the same power and authority to Judas as he gave to Simon Peter. I don't want us to forget this fact. It is very important for us to remember that fact. But in spite of all of that, over foolishness and over familiarity made him put himself in a position that to want to mock the one who made him. How dare he say that, how can this woman pour such an expensive, fragrant, and anoint Jesus? Who are you to judge? And I like the way Jesus responded to him, leave her alone. I'm sure that was one of the reasons that caused him so much indignation, because when you study the Gospels, you will know that it wasn't too far after that banquet that he went to meet the Pharisees and said that he was going to, how much were they going to pay him to betray Jesus? He felt that in himself that he was too important for Jesus to chastise him in the presence of all the other disciples and all of those Pharisees. Because in his mind, he felt like, oh, this oil was a waste. After all, because if this oil is cost, the value of this oil was more than 300 denarii. In other words, it was 1 year's worker's wage. That means that in today's, if we're going to convert that, the cost or the value of the spikenard, the alabaster spikenard, today we'll be looking at over $30,000. Now, we know from the book of John that when he made that statement, he wasn't making it because he had any love in his heart for the poor. But he was looking for another way to line his pocket, because the Bible records it in black and white that he was the one who was in charge of the pocket and he always helped himself to the Lord's earnings. Just because Jesus didn't say anything to him at the time, he felt that no, he did not notice. But the Bible made the record because it's right here in the book of John in black and white. Now, I want us to, you know, I don't know if you are like me, but sometimes when my husband tells me that, okay, so we're going to undertake a project, he describes it to me, so he can describe it to me until he goes blue in the face. I'll tell him that when I see it, I will know what you are talking about, but I trust what you are saying, just go on and say it, no problem. So at this point in our marriage, my husband doesn't even bother going into details about describing a project. If he's going to do, he just says, okay, just choose the color. If he's going to put this there, all of those technical terms, he's on his own. When he's done, oh, it's lovely. And then he'll just shake his head, you know. So I'm like that part. I needed to have a better and clearer understanding of the importance of this woman's offering. Truly, it's also important to know that this was hers. The alabaster box was what she had. Now this offering, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It could be somebody's inherent talent, something that the Lord had placed in you. That is the alabaster box. Now, I brought this perfume for a very good reason, like I said. Because when I looked at this perfume, it was like the Holy Spirit drove the import of her offering home to me. If anyone has ever had the privilege to see actually, there are certain perfumes that are oil-based. That if you just take a finger, touch that oil perfume and just put it on yourself, the fragrance lasts so much longer because it is oil, scientists. Now, this perfume is not oil-based. It's more like a vaporizer. I don't want to spray my eyes. So when you spray this, it scatters into the air. But this woman brought a jar, a box, a flask, whatever you want to call it, of alabaster ointment. Ointment, oil, fragrant oil. that was worth 300 denarii. Now, I'm imagining in my heart or in my mind that the flask, for it to have been broken, had to have been something that can be break, that it's breakable. Please just follow with me. Don't try and guess where I'm going, but I just need you to like see what I saw that brought me to tears. So she's broken protocol. She knew Jesus was going to be in the house of Simon. She knew that there was a possibility that she was going to be mocked, abused, pushed, and even maybe thrown out. She came with all of that in mind and expectation. The expectation of whatever will happen will happen. Because she had already proposed in her heart that she was going to meet Jesus regardless of what anybody said. She knew that she probably had slept with a lot of them because they know her as a woman of the street. She probably had sold herself to many of them. So obviously, those ones who are holier than thou who have slept with her, turning up their nose at her. She came with a reputation. She didn't care at that point because her main goal at that point was to meet with Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that there had to be a careful planning on her part, that this 300 denarii that I have, or however much it was that she bought the alabaster jar for, she had to probably have been saving it, working for it, or something. To the point where it accumulated to the point that she had to, because she needed to give Jesus something. You know, she needed to present something to him that was going to be a significance of the picture in her heart. Now, again, I'm not, remember the story of the widow's mite. Jesus acknowledged her offering. So I'm trying to explain that this is not about the price of the offering, but the heart behind the offering. Let's continue. So she takes this. I'm not going to break this because it's going to cause a lot of stress. But she shattered something that can break on the floor. How, has anybody ever thought in their hearts, how did she get the oil out of shattered container? How was she able to anoint Jesus' head? How was she able to anoint his feet? How was it that the Bible was able to acknowledge that she poured the oil on his head? Can you imagine how she would have knelt down on the shards, broken pieces? So I want to believe strongly that if I was there, I would see that this woman had cuts on her knees, her legs, her arms. And she was beyond all of that because she needed to prove at that point to Jesus that I love you beyond what I can get from you. I love you. And I need you to understand why I have come here. In the midst of this offering, there were people who were indignant at her. Tells wondering why she went out of her way to go. Number one, she wasn't invited. Number two, she broke protocol. Number three, she's a woman of the street. Number four, she's a woman. Number five, she had no right to even be there. There was everything working against her at that time. This woman broke beyond the guards of her inhibition. Why? Because she had to come and take hold. She had to come and let God, Jesus, know the condition of this heart. That maybe you have not, Jesus, you have not acknowledged me. I have been everywhere you are. You might not even remember the fact that you cast out 7 demons from me. But I am grateful. I don't have anything but this. My tears of great joy, tears of gracefulness. My hair, I don't have anything to clean, but I'm going to wipe your feet because I love you. You are more than life to me. But by your grace, I am here, demonless. I don't care if they still remember my past. Jesus looked at her and told Simon that this woman, what she has done is in preparation of my burial. Oh, another rhema. Let me explain something to you if you probably do not know that in the Jewish tradition or the Jewish custom, dead bodies are anointed before they are buried. This woman, she affixed herself to destiny and purpose. She anointed Jesus' body before his crucifixion. Because by the morning, when we go back to that book of Mark, Jesus had arose before anybody came to that grave. She fulfilled a divine assignment. Her offering was just in time. How many of us know when the last opportunity we'll have to honor Jesus with what we have? How many of us, rather than give God what we have, we sit in judgment of the other people who are sold out, and we say, are they the only ones? Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, what she has done will be in memorial of her. I am submitted to you that when this woman, Mary Magdalene, when she offered the spikenard, when she broke the alabaster jar, when with bloody hands and bloody knees made her offering to Jesus, she wasn't doing it because she was having any form of expectation in her heart. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong in giving with expectation, because the Bible says give and it will be given back to you. But this was not her primary motive. This woman came with a heart that was totally broken. For her to have shattered such an she could have just taken it and just poured some on his head and in his feet. But Jesus said in the book of Mark that this woman has done all she can. You know, for God in person, who knows us beyond ourselves. Remember when Simon was speaking, he didn't say what he said out. He said it in his heart. But Jesus responded to him like as though he had said it out. Jesus knew the condition of this woman's heart. This woman came. She got the attention of everyone sitting. A lot of them must have been ashamed of themselves after Jesus said, I came into your house. Understand something else, that Pharisees, I just got the understanding that Pharisee to Pharisee, they kiss, they do cheek kissing as greetings. Pharisee Simon didn't think it was important to do that to Jesus, the one who healed him. He was meant to be the guest of honor. But Simon did not acknowledge him as thus. But somebody else came. This is regardless of gender. This woman came from outside. And she decided that it doesn't matter whether they have acknowledged him or not. This is my own opportunity to do so. And I will do so regardless of how I am feeling. Brethren, in the past 4 days, I have been totally down to the point where it was hard to talk without coughing. I've been coughing. But when I read that particular book of Mark, where the Lord said, Mary, in Mark chapter 14 verse 8, I believe that's where, Mark 14 verse 8, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body. I said to myself, I don't have any excuse. That since an assignment has been given to me, I'm not going to look for any excuse not to fulfill this assignment. That the Holy Spirit will take control. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit took control, because if you had heard me coughing this morning, you would not believe that I can stand here and talk for almost 40, 50 minutes and not cough to the glory of God. You see, the truth of the matter is that this woman's story encouraged me. So when I say, Lord, I just want to be able to, for you to stand before you and say, for you to say that I have done all that I could. In terms of my physical offering, financial offering, in terms of everything that I own, any assignment in the house of God, it doesn't matter. Because because for me, my representation in this house is PC, is my pastor. Whatever assignment that he has given me, I will fulfill it. You see, when I'm here in church, I always tell people that I am a minister. It's when I'm at home that I am his wife. In church, I am a minister. But I don't even like being addressed as mommy or pastor, missus. In fact, he practically, more or less, held me down to be called PM. Just continue. I prefer to just be called Sister Maureen. No, in fact, even the deacon herself, when the deacon herself was giving me stress. A lot of people have heard my story and think that maybe I am proud. Well, if that's what you think, I do not have any apology. I am just the way I am. And the way I am is because the Lord is working in me and he's going to continue working in me. You see, stories like Mary Magdalene's story encourages me that when we come before the presence of the Lord with the right heart, our past does not matter. It's the heart that matters, the heart with which you have come. It's kind of like you get a job in a place, you are seeking employment, and then they look at your resume and wonder, okay, so what do you have? Because the truth of the matter is that you need something to give them for them to be able to walk on, because they're not asking you to be the perfect person. They're asking you to come with what you have, so that what you have, we can walk with what you have to make it what we need. That's exactly the principle of heaven. How much more that she was the woman that the Lord Jesus appeared to on is when he first resurrected. All the four gospels tell of her story. Jesus said, and heaven held record, that wherever this gospel, this we're talking about 2,000 years ago, wherever this gospel is going to be preached, her story must be told. Because she has done well what she could. How many of us today can stand up and stay gone before the presence of God and know without a certainty of doubt that we have done all that we can? Is it in the place of offering? Is it in the place of evangelism? Is it in the place of our worship? Is it in the place of prayer? Is it in the place of being a worker? How many of us can say without a shadow of doubt that we have done all we could? Nobody knows the last time we could ever give. And nobody knows that the moment when your offering is going to mean the most. Nobody does. And I pray that this woman's story is going to challenge every one of us in a way that we would leave this sanctuary today renewed with our spirit man renewed. Leave this place today. Know that Jesus does not condemn. As long as you and I will come with the right heart. That is all he needs. He requires of us is the right heart. From this woman who broke an alabaster jar, to that woman who gave her last mite, it was the heart that mattered the most. The condition of her heart mattered the most. The condition of our heart matters the most. Regardless of what we do in God's house, the question is, with which heart are we doing it? I stay away from posts on social media that antagonize men and women of God. I stay totally away from them. Because why? I don't want to be one of those who's going to be caught in the bandwagon. Let it not be that statement that I will be the one that will make will be what God will be held against me in judgment. Beloved, the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, in closing, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I don't know whether the Lord has put a prayer in your heart, but I want you to bow down your heads. Let us ask that the Lord begin to give us the grace to shatter our alabaster box. Whatever wall is holding us, that special thing that the Lord has given us, that expensive gift that we have, let us pray that the Lord will give us the grace and the boldness to shatter the alabaster box holding us back, the boldness to go beyond our inhibitions. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone, oh God, who is praying, oh Lord, this is our desire, Father, to honor you with our alabaster box. Father, we are breaking, we are shattering it this morning. We are asking, oh God, that you come and use us. You use Mary Magdalene. Father, use us. Lord, we want to be acceptable before you. We want our record in heaven to be that, yes, welcome, good and faithful servant. We want our heavenly record to be, yes, she or he has done all he could. That this will be in memorial to you, us. And most of all, Lord, will be to your glory and your glory alone. That this will be to your glory and your glory alone. When Mary shattered that alabaster box, she did not do it for herself. She did it to your glory, to your honor. And Lord, you recognized her gift and you saw her heart. Beyond the inhibition, beyond all the murmurings, beyond all the criticisms, beyond all the bringing down, beyond all the criticism, all everything negative saints, she did not listen to any one of those words, but she just focused on you. Father, let that be our boldness record in the name of Jesus, that we'll be able to focus on you like Mary did. That we'll be able to focus on you, oh God, and we'll be able to cling to what you have to say to us. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah.